Good morning. Let me call the City Council study session of Thursday, October 19th to order. Our first item is to hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on the possible construction closure of Brown Road at Loop 202.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I'm Dan Clevenger from the Transportation Division. We've had a formal request from Police Construction to close Brown Road to aid in the construction of the Red Mountain Freeway. Let me give you just a little bit of background, some of these things I'm sure you're well aware of. ADOT has three projects underway in this area. The three are segment from Power Road to University, University to Southern, and the Super Red Tan Interchange, Phase 2. Police Construction has all three of these projects or contracts. There are construction impacts expected for over the next year on several arterial streets in the area. Underway currently is a closure on McKellips Road. This was approved by Council in May 2006, and the Council authorized the closure for 7.5 months in that segment. Police Construction expects actually to be done in 6.5 months, and that's going to be mid-December. With that authority to close, or authorization to close, local access was restricted, or access to McKellips was restricted, and so local access was restricted between Power Road and Ellsworth. And as part of that discussion, there was some consideration for additional closures in the future, and this is the first that came since McKellips, and they were requesting Brown Road and also a consideration in the future of McDowell Road. Some of the concerns and the reason why Police Construction would like to close Brown Road is the right-of-way is very tight up there. We've got several streets that would be restricted at the same time. We've had multiple closures, irregular closures. It'd be hard to predict for the residents in the area. And we'd have several detours going on simultaneously. Our experience with the McKellips closure has been real good, frankly. We've had minimal negative impacts once we got first the first week or so. And the alternate routes in the area are handling traffic well. We've got good alternate parallel routes to the north and south. There's a temporary bridge for emergency vehicles to get over the canal. And they're ahead of schedule. Mid-December is expected to open that street up again. The city stands to gain $167,000 in rental fees. And there's cost savings to police and construction, and ADOT to the tune of about $185,000. The pros to doing a closure on Brown Road includes reducing the construction time frame from about a year down to 225 days. McKellips and University would be unimpeded, and that would be one of the conditions before Brown Road closure would be approved. That's the staff recommendation anyway. We would eliminate changing the closures and the detours again, that confusion to the driver. We close it, keep it closed, work hard to get the work done and the street back open. And of course, a real important item is that it would enhance safety, efficiency, and really provide a better final product. The cons, as you're aware of, we'd eliminate the east-west crossing at the canal. It's going to increase somewhat a little bit of congestion on the other streets. They'll have to find other routes. It's going to increase delays a little bit because the traffic's going to go to obviously be passing through some of the other intersections and potentially increase emergency response time a little bit, even though there is a crossing at the canal provided. Here's a map that's included in your packet. You can see this red section here in the middle is the closure. There's a good alternate route coming. This is Power Road on this side, McKellips on the top. This is Ellsworth Road and University. So for the folks that live west of the construction, there's a good alternate route. Come down 80th Street. That's a half-mile collector street. Most of it's fully improved. There's no fronting homes, and they pass through to get back to University. The folks that live in this area close to Ellsworth Road are probably the most impacted, even though they have pretty good access. They're very near Ellsworth Road and can proceed north or south to get by this closure. Some of the concerns in this area really take place on the Power Road side. We've got three schools over here, an elementary school, a junior high school, and a senior high school, and there's a couple churches along in that area as well. some of the coordination that's going to have to take place on this project, with just like the McAllips Road closure with emergency response providers. Certainly, we'd coordinate with Mesa Police Department, Mesa Fire, Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and Rural Metro. Additional coordination would include the housing developments you saw on the map. I'm aware of at least a couple of churches along Brown Road, those three public schools that I mentioned, and then Mesa Public Schools transportation for busing as well. And I wanted to note that we did contact all three schools already. We contacted Mesa Public Schools transportation. This was not a sit-down meeting. It was just a telephone call to advise them that this was going to be discussed a little bit today and that we'd follow up with any decision that was made and keep them informed. The initial agreement with police construction dealt with not only the McAllips Road closure, which is underway right now, but potential closures for Brown Road and McDowell also. And these were some of the details that were agreed to. Mesa would receive $25,000 for each month of closure for this particular project. That would add up, if it goes the full 7.5 months, that'd be about $187,500. Rental fees would increase if they went beyond those dates as noted, $1,500 per day beyond day 226 and up to $2,000 per day after 256 days. We've got left turn signals and traffic monitoring cameras already in place. That was done in conjunction with police construction and ADOT at several intersections along Brown Road and Ellsworth to help us monitor any rerouted traffic. That will help, frankly, in this Brown Road closure if it's decided to do that by council. City staff will review and comment on all traffic control plans related to this closure, and the city has authority, of course, to revoke the closure if it doesn't seem to be working out for us. But based on the experience of McAllips, staff expects it to work just fine. Costs to the city for this agreement are real minimal, frankly. There's just some labor costs involved in monitoring traffic signal programming and timing, and then some limited staff time for monitoring or reviewing traffic control plans, barricading issues. So in summary, allowing the closure of Brown Road, if it were decided to do that, we would do that. It would begin no sooner than January 3rd, and it would require that University be opened, four lanes, two in each direction, and McAllips be opened as well, and that's expected to take place in December, mid-December this year. Mesa would receive $25,000 per month and throughout the duration of the closure. Police would get their clear construction zone, improving efficiency and quality. ADOT would save money, and the motorists would know what to expect throughout the duration of this closure. So I guess what we're looking for today from council is your feelings on proceeding with this closure on Brown Road. With me today, I've got staff members from ADOT and police construction if you have any specific questions about the project or how we would take care of this closure.
Councilmember Griswold.
One of the confusing things is the name of the construction company is Police, P-U-L-I-C-E, so it's not a Mesa PD project, just it sounds like. As long as McAllips and University were both open before Brown was closed, I think most residents would be able to work with this project. The other thing they would probably ask for is a left-hand turn going north on Ellsworth onto McAllips. There will be a lot of traffic rerouted that way. Right now, that is a very interesting intersection where you can't take a truck and turn left nearly without swinging in the wrong lanes. It's a very old intersection. The other point is we still are scheduling to tear up all of Haas Road before we get McAllips open. McAllips, I understand, is supposed to be open mid-December. If we could postpone that 15 to 40 days, I think it would save a lot of traffic, because Haas is the only road going connecting McAllips now to McDowell, and we're going to tear that up right in the middle of where we don't have McAllips open. So we're routing all the traffic down there. We're going to tear it up in the middle of this. So if we can hold off 15 to 40 days, I think it'll keep traffic flowing a lot smoother in that area.
Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, in my discussions with Keith Nath, and Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, but Keith thinks we'll be able to delay that project a little bit.
That would be all I'm asking for is 2 to 3 weeks. So, and I think we can cause everything just to flow fairly nicely.
We're working
Thank
on
you.
That.
All right. Thank you.
From the discussions on this, have we created kind of an underlying policy on closures, on costs, the benefits, or is each one, I guess it's pretty unique, but I can see the same thing happening down around Williams Gateway when we do some major arterials down there at some point. So what I am trying to avoid is to do for one company what we wouldn't do necessarily for others, or to make sure that there's some kind of consistent policy. Are you working on that so that you kind of have some guidelines on when you do a closure and when you don't?
Yeah, I'd say this is pretty unique with reference to the canal bridge. The need and the desire to complete the 202 at the same time. I would imagine from time to time we could look at that, but I could see this as being a pretty unique situation.
Okay, so we're not trying to encourage construction companies to come in and say, instead of doing a bypass road, I'd like to just close it, or?
Mayor, not on major arterials like this. I think that this is an exception to the rule.
Okay.
Rex. Normally you can do a bypass. You just put a stretch of asphalt around. Here you've got to build giant bridges to do it because of the canal. It doesn't work on a bypass, is what they're telling me. Mm-hmm. And so, and also on this McKellips, they've learned a lot about building floating bridges, et cetera. Hopefully they'll be a little faster on the next two bridges they've got to build. So it is very complex, okay. Building giant drainage that you can drive trucks through and all the rest. So hopefully we won't get this situation again in our city.
Yeah. Mayor, I would also add that this is specifically contemplated in the agreement. So this was negotiated, and it was left to the discretion of council and stated in the agreement that it would have to come back to council for consideration, and sets out that the city would consider if there are any negative impacts on the public as a result of these closures. So I would agree with Jack that this is unique, because I believe this is one of the first times we've included in the contract and set out how this would be accomplished. So it's not something that would necessarily be considered in future contracts.
So all the bid documents had that type of clause in there, so any other bidder would have known they could have made that application. So
I don't know if it was included in the bid documents.
I'm not aware of that either. Maybe Keith probably knows.
Because being familiar with that industry, one thing you don't want is you don't want a set of documents and then somebody else kind of change the working parameter after the fact.
Mayor, all the bidders on this was an ADOT bid, and there was a requirement in their bid documents that they maintain traffic. That was the requirement in the bid documents. So all the bidders bid this project under the pretense of maintaining traffic. It's not unusual when once you have a successful contractor based on that bidding requirement to come back, and if there's a better way or a better approach, that's an opportunity that most of the specs and plans allow for in any bid document. So you can try to improve upon maybe what was bid, but all the bidders bid the same thing.
Okay. So in our analysis, we can look at the time frame. Is it worth, and some of the other criteria you set out, to judge whether we want to modify this?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions on this? This is for presentation, discussion, and possible direction. Councilmember Griswold, what, this is the call on you. It's in your district. Is this?
As long as McDowell, McKellips, and University were all completely open before Brown was closed, I think there would be less impact, and this would be a quicker way to do it and less probably pandemonium on commuting out time than leaving it for a year where you have different closures and different routes every day. So I'd be in favor of it if it's done right. And the left-hand turn lane at Ellsworth, there's a way to turn left there.
Okay. Does any council members object to proceeding in that direction? All right. I think then you have your direction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay. Don't need a formal vote. I think we've got
No, the direction's fine there.
All right, thank you. Item number two is acknowledging receipts of minutes of various boards and committees. We have three before us. Have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Hear reports on meeting center conferences attended. Anybody have any updates? I did go to a central CAP, Central Arizona Water Conservation District debate last night, sponsored by ASU and the Farm Bureau. It was interesting to talk about CAGRID and other issues to some of the council or some of the candidates, and front of us. There were 9 of the 15 that showed up. That'll be a tough decision for the voters to figure out which 5 of the 15 to vote for. But it was interesting information. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. You'll have to tell us all offline here which 5. The federal government has mandated that municipal planning organizations and states conduct transportation coordination, and so MAG has what's known as an SSTA committee that's or task force that I was asked to, I don't even know if the right word is chair, because MAG doesn't want more chairs, so spearhead or something. So I was at that yesterday looking at transportation coordination, social human service transportation coordination, senior service transportation coordination, looking at what models might work. Looking at who would house those models best. There are several more meetings of that before we're supposed to come forward with a plan, so I'll let you know as that moves ahead. And then Councilmember Jones and Councilmember Griswold and I were all at the Mayor's Youth Committee the other night, and you have some nice young people you've recruited here, Mayor. I don't think you actually recruit them. I think they apply through their schools, but it's nice to see that you have people who are interested in government and in local government, and some of them are more tuned into it than others are as they move along. I imagine that will change, but there are some of them who are certainly cynical enough to a couple of the questions really gave me a good chuckle. So thank you, Mayor.
Councilor Griswold.
We all attended, I think, the Mesa School Board meeting yesterday, a combined meeting. A lot of people don't understand that we do not run Mesa schools. I get calls that my son's been thrown off the school bus. What can you do? And I said, they have their own board. You vote them in. They have their own taxing authorities. We have nothing to do with Mesa School District. I'm sorry your little darling is walking. You know, we went yesterday. Boeing released their impact study of what they bring to Mesa. It's close to a $2.3 billion impact on the state. A lot of that, the main part of that, is in Mesa. It was a very good time. We had senators and all the rest realize how important that employer is to this community. They're also a very good corporate citizen, do a lot of good things, United Way, et cetera. And a lot of us attended Wayne Bommer's retirement party yesterday. After 33 years, Wayne Bommer is one of the leading advocates for Williams Gateway and helped get all the paperwork done in 1993, I think, when we inherited that from the federal government, and it's been quite a career he's done. He'll be doing planning in Queen Creek, so we won't lose him. He'll be right across the border.
Anyone else? Okay, the next item is scheduling the meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder to the Utility Committee that there will be a meeting right after the study session today. We have on Tuesday, October 24th, the dinner with the ASU representatives at the ASU Polytechnic campus. Also, we still have scheduled a Thursday study session at 7:30 a.m. And just a reminder, we have that special council meeting on Monday, October 30th. We made that decision this past Monday to hear that particular item. I don't know that we have a time at this point. I think there's still some surveying to find out what would be convenient for most everyone for that date. So, and just one more. The Transportation Committee meeting will be at 10:30 a.m. on October 31st. Thank you.
Corporation Commission hearing that morning starting at 9:30. So if we could, and you know, we're close to a vote, so if we could perhaps do it early morning or late afternoon.
Right. 8 o'clock, maybe. That takes 8 o'clock on the 30th. Okay, cool.
Will costumes be required for the Transportation Committee meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's it, Mayor.
Trying to figure out which ones work, and I'm thinking of the Michelin Man, maybe. Okay. I will be gone on the 30th, so that'll be the Vice Mayor's meeting to conduct. Do we have any requests to speak this morning?
Yes, we do, Mayor. We're going to hear from Ernie Johnson.
Good morning. I'm Ernie, Mayor Hawker and members of the council. I'm Ernie Johnson, Mesa Drive in Brown. I understand that In a few minutes, you will be discussing Waveyard opportunity in executive session. My message is simple. I and many of my neighbors in West Mesa are very excited about this opportunity. We consider it God sent. And my message is very simple. Go for it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ernie. Are there any other speakers?
Mayor.
All right. Let's go ahead then and adjourn the study session, and call a special council meeting to order for the purposes of convening an executive session. So I need a motion to that effect and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes.
I asked Ms. Spinner if I could do this out here. She said it was all right. I want to make sure that everyone knows that I am declaring a conflict of interest on Waveyard discussions. There's been some confusion, I guess, because of how it was reported in the newspaper. My daughter-in-law's family owns, I believe, if not all, most of the water parks in the Phoenix metro area. She is a part owner in that family business, and as a result, I have a conflict of interest on this. I have refrained from discussing it. I will continue to refrain from discussing it and voting on it. And I have forwarded the emails that I'm getting to the mayor's office, and people can contact the mayor or Heidi Gast, his assistant. Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you. Rex?
Just a clarification. So these would be competitors of your families, not something that would support your family?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we are in executive session.